Afghanistan fell to the coalition. The Red Cross visited Jamal in prison. They suggested he cross the border into Pakistan and make his own way back home to Manchester. But Jamal had no money, so instead he asked to be put in contact with the British Embassy in Kabul. 9 days later, while he waited in Kandahar for the embassy to transport him home, the Americans picked him up. "The Americans," Jamal said, "kidnapped me." When he said kidnapped, he looked surprised at himself for using such a dramatic word. The Americans in Kandahar told Jamal he needed to be sent to Cuba for 2 months for administrative processing and so on. And the next thing he knew, he was on a plane, shackled, his arms chained to his legs, and then chained to a hook on the floor, his face covered in earmuffs and goggles and a surgical mask, bound for Guantanamo Bay. In the weeks after Jamal's release, 2 years later, he gave a few interviews, during which he spoke of the shackles and the solitary confinement and the beatings, the things the outside world had already imagined about life inside that mysterious compound. He said they beat his feet with batons, pepper-sprayed him, and kept him inside a cage that was open to the elements, with no privacy or protection from the rats and snakes and scorpions that crawled around the base. But these were not sensational revelations. He spoke with ITV's Martin Bashir, who asked him, off-camera, "Did you see my Michael Jackson documentary?" Jamal replied, I've been in Guantanamo Bay for 2 years. When I met Jamal, he began to tell me about the more bewildering abuses. Prostitutes were flown in from the States. He doesn't know whether they were there only to smear their menstrual blood on the faces of the more devout detainees. Or perhaps they were brought in to service the soldiers, and some psyops boffin, a resident cultural analyst, devised this other job for them as an afterthought, exploiting the resources at the army's disposal. "One or two of the British guys," Jamal told me, "said to the guards, 'Can we have the women?' But the guards said, 'No, no, no. The prostitutes are for the detainees who don't actually want them.' They explained it to us. 'If you want it, it's not going to work on you.'" "So what were the prostitutes doing to the detainees?" I asked. "Just messing about with their genitals," said Jamal, "stripping off in front of them, rubbing their breasts in their faces. Not all the guys would speak. They'd just come back from the brown block, the interrogation block, and be quiet for days and cry to themselves. So you know something went on, but you don't know what. But for the guys who did speak, that's what we heard." I asked Jamal if he thought the Americans at Guantanamo were dipping their toes into the waters of exotic interrogation techniques. "They were doing a lot more than dipping," he replied. And that's when he told me about what happened to him inside the brown block.